Well, if your family is like mine, Christmas means a lot of traveling. It kind of seems like we need to sit down with a calendar and a calculator to figure out how we are going to make Christmas work, right? Okay, we're going to be here in Brantford on Christmas Eve, and then Christmas Day we'll be here, but then we got to go to Chatham at some point during the day, and then we come back to Highgate partway through the day. Is that anybody else's experience? A lot of time on the road. As I thought about it, that is not just my experience, our experience. Christmas for Jesus was a time where he spent a lot of time on the road. Think about that. By the time Jesus was 2, he would have already traveled from Nazareth to Bethlehem to Egypt and back again. And that was all in the days before cruise control. Frankly, I don't know if cruise control would work on a donkey. I want to pick up this image of traveling tonight to lead us through some scripture readings and some meditations. Each of you are on a journey of some sorts. For some of you, the journey is easygoing and smooth sailing right now. Right? Everything is going great. Life is excellent. Things are falling into place. You know, you'll have Christmas with your family, and then you're off to Florida to ride out the winter. Anybody doing that? No, we're all farmers here, right? We're staying and taking care of the cows. I know what that's like. We missed a family vacation one summer because Dad needed to fix the fence in the backyard. For some, the road is great. For others, your road leads you through the valley of the shadow of death. And I know the degree to which this community has been marked by the loss of a lot of very important people over the last year. I want to encourage you that whatever road you are on tonight, God is there. Whatever marks your journey, God is with you. Think about that first trip that Mary took. I don't know if you caught it in that scripture reading, tucked in between the visit from the angel and the visit to Elizabeth. Mary had just discovered that she was going to be carrying the Son of God, and immediately we read, she got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea to see Elizabeth. If you don't pay close attention, that just passes you by, but that's a big journey. Matthew isn't explicit about it, but if you pay attention to the details, Mary starts out in Nazareth. She travels more than 100 kilometers to Judea. We don't know exactly how, if she traveled with other people or if she went by, surely she went by foot. It would have taken her probably a couple of weeks to travel from where she was to see Elizabeth. Think about her state of mind when she made that journey. She had a couple of weeks to think. Keep in mind that Mary is the kind of girl who treasures things up in her heart. I can imagine that there was a degree of joy and wonder in her heart. Right? This is a faithful Jewish girl. Now God has announced to her that she was going to be the one to deliver God's long-awaited Messiah. Right? She would have grown up hearing stories about the day that God would give this miraculous Redeemer to come and save them. She would have heard the elders speak of the prophecies of a mighty God, an everlasting Father, a wonderful Counselor, a Prince of Peace. That hope of hopes is coming. And it's in me, she would have thought. I suspect that she would have marveled at what God intended to do through her in that time. And that is what she said when she and Elizabeth got together. She burst out in this exuberant song of praise. My soul glorifies the Lord. My heart rejoices in God my Savior because he has been mindful of me, his servant. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. She knew that God was with her, and she knew that God was working for good. When your journey is marked by joy, God is there. Well, 9 months had passed since the angel Gabriel visited Mary, and then Mary went to visit Elizabeth. Now it was her final trimester. And wouldn't you know it, Mary had to make another trip. Caesar Augustus wanted to know how many people there were in his kingdom. He wanted to know how much tax money he could get. And so Mary and Joseph were required to travel now from Nazareth to Bethlehem, a trip of about 150 kilometers. This trip would have been similar to the journey that Mary made when she went to see Elizabeth, would have traveled on many of the same roads. It would be kind of like us walking to St. Catharines from Brantford and back, and then going to Buffalo and back. You'd cover very similar roads, you'd cover about the same distance on foot for Mary and Joseph. It would have been like that first journey, but so different. The first time, I'll bet Mary was brimming with joy, excited about what would happen. Now she was 9 months pregnant. I remember when my wife was 9 months pregnant, that took a real toll on her body and her mood and her energy level. Being 9 months pregnant is not fun. Traveling more than 150 kilometers on foot is not exactly easy. Put those together and you've got a tough journey. Tough physically, but think about what Mary might have been feeling emotionally too. Right? Joseph and she were not actually married, and here she was pregnant. If you recall, Joseph had originally intended to divorce her quietly, because if he had done it publicly, then Mary risked being stoned. A lot of people would have probably looked at her in strange ways. You know, go to get water, dirty looks. Sure, you're carrying the Son of God in your body. You know, the physical toll that traveling took on Mary's body may have actually been preferable to the gossip and the emotional stress that she may have felt in her own village. You know, I suspect that as Mary went from Nazareth to Bethlehem, she probably felt a real mix of emotions, some good, some bad. I'll bet that she reminded herself every step of the way, I'm carrying the God of the world, the God whose name is Emmanuel, in me. God with us. God is with us now. When your journey is marked by ambivalence, God is there. So now Mary and Joseph have to make a very different kind of trip. No longer within the borders of their own nation, they had to go to Egypt. Not only did they have to go to Egypt, they had to flee to Egypt. Egypt was a very natural place for them to go. There was a pretty thriving Jewish population in Egypt at that time. Egypt was itself a Roman province, just as Israel was. So it was natural for them to go to Israel, but not particularly natural, considering that they were chased out by someone that was trying to kill their baby. You see, King Herod couldn't stand to have a rival for power, and so he actively sought to kill Jesus. King Herod had three of his own sons executed for treason, had countless people murdered, and was just an all-around not nice guy to be around. So it doesn't really shock us, or it shouldn't, that he would slaughter as many innocents as it took to try to snuff out Jesus. This was not an easy road for Mary and Joseph. The king wanted Jesus dead. They discovered on that journey that when the journey is marked by trial, God is there. The reason that I say that is that this account that Carol just read shows again and again God at work. Herod thought he was proactively guarding his own rule, but it turns out that God was working through his actions to establish an even greater kingdom. Three times we're told that Herod caused God's prophecies to be fulfilled. Herod thought he was stacking the deck right, and he ended up fulfilling God's prophecies. Verse 15, and so was fulfilled what the Lord said through the prophet, out of Egypt I will call my son. Verse 17, what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah. Verse 23, so was fulfilled what he said through the prophets. The child will be called a Nazarene. Even when the road is marked by trial, God is there. What's the road that you are traveling on marked by today? Is it marked by joy? If it is, oh man, I'm grateful. I'm thankful. There is nothing better than that, is there? I love those days when the sun is shining and things are going right and you've just heard this new song in the radio that you love and you hum it and it comes into your head every once in a while and makes you smile and feel good. If that's you, let that song in your heart be a song of thanksgiving to God. He is there with you. As surely as he walked with Mary, he will walk with you. What's the road that you are traveling on? Is it marked by ambivalence? You know, that state of being not completely satisfied with the way things are, but not entirely put out by your circumstances. You're getting by, right? Things are okay in your family, but as long as nobody goes too far, there won't be any fistfights break out over the Christmas dinner. Or maybe you feel this awkward tension in your heart. It's Christmas, so it's a time of excitement and joy and wonder. And yet there's all these things that you have to go to and all this baking to get done and these presents to put under the tree. If that's you, I want you to know that God is with you. As surely as he walked with Mary, he is with you. What's the road that you're traveling on? Is it marked by trial? I know that for some of you, it is. I know that you don't have a king trying to kill your baby, but you've known hardship. You've known heartache and trials this year. I want you to know that God wants you to take those tears to him in prayer. He will not extinguish a flickering flame. And I also want you to know that as surely as God walked with Mary, he is walking with you. He cares deeply for his people, and he is actively working to bring good out of the most awful circumstances. I mean, that's exactly what he was doing as Mary and Joseph traveled with Jesus, right? That's exactly what he was doing when Jesus traveled through Israel and Galilee. That's exactly what Jesus did when he died on the cross. That was heartbreaking and terrible. And yet Jesus was born and lived and died to bring about something good, to bring us back into relationship with God. You know, when the angel said to Mary, you will give birth to a son, she said to Joseph, she will give birth to a son, you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. The angel just didn't just say that to give Hallmark something to put on their Christmas cards. That's good news. Our sin, that is our tendency to trust our own judgment better than God's, separate us from God. But Jesus came. Mary and Joseph traipsed all over the Middle East with him, keeping him safe, so that Jesus could receive what our rebellion deserved, so that we could get the blessings that his faithfulness deserved. Right, God worked through every instance in Jesus' life, through the joys, through the ambivalence, through the trials, to bring good. And that's why we are gathered together tonight. I hope that that resonates with you as good news. If you don't know it as good news, I invite you to experience it, trusting Jesus for forgiveness and guidance. And if he would go to such great lengths to care for our eternal souls, I think it goes without saying that he is concerned for us every step of the way. Whatever your road is marked by, I want you to know that God is there. And he is for you. Trust him. Because whatever your road is marked by, God is a faithful, faithful companion and leader. Whatever your road is marked by, God is there. As you follow him, he is leading to a place of rest and perfection. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for his parents, Mary and Joseph, who so faithfully carted him around the ancient Near East. And we thank you that because of your protecting hand, he lived and died and rose again to give us life. We look forward to eternal life because he has made that possible. Jesus, I pray for the people who are struggling tonight. You know what each and every person in this building needs. You know the circumstances of their lives and the deepest emotions of their hearts. I pray that you will make them tangibly aware of your presence with them. And God, would you encourage them through that? God, draw each of us to yourself so that we might know the peace that comes even in the face of hardship. Thank you, God, for your love for us and for your faithfulness to us. Make us ever more faithful to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The newborn.